Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. On this Sunday morning, it is Easter. Happy Easter, everyone. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Happy Easter, everyone. I'm Austin Mendez.
What's up, man?
Man, nothing much. Did you get to watch those games yesterday, the Rockets or Astros?
Yeah, ping-ponging around and everything. The Astros, well,
unfortunately dropped that one.
Yeah, that wasn't too good, but hey, it happens. You can't win them all.
Yeah. Well, they played today on Easter Sunday, so.
That's good.
Hopefully we can get them back.
Maybe they'll hop on into, come back to H-Town winning another series, you know.
Man, come on.
It just totally bites to lose to the Rangers. I hate losing to them.
It's not a good feeling.
The Texans losing to the Cowboys. Can't take it. Can't take it.
It's not supposed to happen.
No. But it did. Anyway, well, we got a Sunday ahead of us, and we're going to start off the show this morning. We'll call a few guys to get things rolling that I normally don't get in touch with during the week. We'll try to reach them today and get some reports elsewhere, and then we'll roll on into our open line Sunday when sickos get the cobwebs cleared out. And get those Easter baskets ready for their little ones. Anyway, all right, weather-wise, our sponsors, though, let me mention them. That's a great thing to do. Texan Roofing, Castaway Rods, McLean Trailers, Boyd's One Stop, the Belleville Meat Market, Skeeter's Auto Service, Mainstream Marketing, and the CCA Star Tournament. Speaking of Mainstream Marketing, good friend of mine, Mike Heron, his son plays for Baylor, and they kind of got roughed up a little bit yesterday by Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech's ranked 16 in the nation, and Baylor's 18. But two good ball clubs there, too. If you like following Texas baseball, those guys are really good. Anyway, all right, Galveston right now, down on the island, it's 66 degrees. Looks like today we're going to have sunny skies, high around 75 down on the island. It'll be about 82 here in H-Town. And winds will be south-southeast 10 to 20. Then tonight, mostly clear, low of 67. Winds will be southeast 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a high of 74. Winds will be southeast at 10 to 20. Looks like dry conditions will continue. Grass pollen is high right now. Air quality is moderate. And UV index today will be very high. It'll be a beautiful Easter Sunday to spend time with the family in the great outdoors, whether you're going fishing or you're just going to hunt Easter eggs or whatever you're going to do. Cook. A lot of people are doing that. So that'll be cool. Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high tide at 7:39 a.m. It's a 1.7, and then a low at 1:40 p.m., a 1.2, then a high at 5:06 p.m., a 1.3. And then 6:47 a.m. will be sunrise, 7:49 p.m. sunset. And we're finally on the backside of that full moon at 97%. Current conditions, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. We have a south wind at 13, gusting to 16, 69-degree water. Barometric pressures, 30.03 inches and steady. Galveston Pleasure Pier, or Pier 21, south at 6 to 10, 69-degree water. Eagle Point, 69-degree water, with south-southwest winds at 9 to 11. Morgan's Point, 69-degree water, with south winds at 5 to 7. So not too awfully bad. Saw a few boats got offshore yesterday, so if that's your gig, looks like here's your north-central Gulf, including Flower Garden Banks, forecast for today. East to southeast winds 10 to 15 knots. Seas are going to run about 2 to 4 feet. Pretty much tonight, west of 90 degrees west. Southeast winds will be 15 to 20 knots, and elsewhere, variable winds less than 5 knots. Becoming east at 10 knots in the late evening overnight. Seas 2 to 4. then for tomorrow, southeast 15 to 20, seas will be running about 3 to 5 feet. So there's your weather and all. All right, let's go to the Tri-Bay area and get started off with a hammer this morning, Captain Glenn Hammond. Hammer time, what is up?
It's hammer time. Good morning, Captain Mickey.
Happy
How
Easter.
Are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm good.
Happy Easter to you and your family and to Austin and all of his family, too, buddy.
Well, thank you for that.
Hey, man, that sun popped out yesterday, and it was a holiday weekend, and, oh, Lord, did it get crowded down here.
It was going on, wasn't it? I saw a lot of beach pictures yesterday, too. Golly.
Slick as glass as far as you could see. I mean, you know, it just felt so eerie. All those days of that northwest wind up to 44 is what we've clocked down here.
I bet.
And it was a calming effect, to say the least, yesterday morning. I mean, your ears were almost ringing. It was so quiet with no wind. It was just awesome, man. But what a beautiful, beautiful day. I got to go to a 35th wedding anniversary party out in Jones Creek yesterday, a little barbecue. And so we went out and visited some friends. We bowl with them on Tuesday nights over there in Angleton. And, anyway, we went to celebrate their little anniversary, and not much else has been going on, dude. You know, it's been a big old weather event down in our area. And starting on Friday, man, we had it 36 to 44 mile an hour northwest. I look out behind the house, and there's this old kayaker, I felt sorry for the guy, man. It was a little bitty old bay called Swan Lake right here on my house is, my cabin. And I'm looking, and this poor guy, the winds, I can see his truck all the way across over by the intercoastal, and he just paddling and paddling, maybe throwing anchor out for a while and then paddling. That north wind was pushing him. I don't see how they do it. All I can tell you, he was real, real mad at those fish.
You got to be to go out in a kayak in the northwest at 44, baby.
Oh, my
that's,
God.
That's how taking advantage of a day off.
I'm not laughing. My heart's bleeding for the guy, man. I was just like, please, please, are you that mad or whatever? There might have been a tournament going on. You know how it is, just stay in time. But, our bays are just totally, totally upside down, man, is all I can tell you. It's not a pretty picture down here. And the bait camps, if you're looking for bait, when the sun pops out, it's the first major weekend, holiday weekend, and everything just came together. Let me tell you, they took their white flags down real quick yesterday, buddy. They were sold out of bait.
They sold out of bait that fast, golly.
And late yesterday afternoon, I didn't see a flag flying, so. Well, I take that back. I did see a bait camp with their flag flying. So there is some live bait down here. I would get here early. If you're going to come down here and look for it, I wouldn't wait all day. Because, like I said, there's quite a few people down here this weekend. And, shoot, man, if I guess we're going to have another good day. I'm looking at my weather deal, Captain Mickey. We got 5 miles an hour coming out of the southeast right now. South-southeast.
Yeah.
A little more south. But it says 5 to 11. Our pressure's dropping. We were way up above 30 inches yesterday, and now it's dropped down just a little bit, 29.89 is what I'm reading. You know, it dropped as low as 29.56 right before that.
Yeah, it got real low before that frontal system came, but I've got pretty much everywhere up this way, everything's just barely over 30 inches.
Oh, it's, hey, man, hey, come on, let it blow. We don't go, but, I canceled on Friday and I canceled yesterday. Nobody felt any worse than a guide when you have to talk to your customers that come from, say, Waxahachie, and that's where they were coming from. I called them 2 days in advance and said, y'all might want to make other plans because that northwest wind's going to blow and it's going to do its damage. You know, all I can do is just be honest with the folks and tell them. And, well, they couldn't get a refund on their hotel, so him and his wife came down anyway yesterday. But, no, I canceled it. When I woke up and there was no wind and the sun was out, I was just feeling terrible. But the damage had already been done. There's no matter what I
Well, you didn't have any water to start with yesterday morning.
Nothing. My wife and I watched this old crabber, and, you know, they know the bays pretty good. Well, I'm telling you, with all the towheads sticking out and as low as our tides have been, let me let this cat out.
All right. I wonder what that was. I thought you had a parrot. Thought it was a parrot or something.
I got a little
Got to take care of old boo-boo kitty, man.
he was wanting outside, go kill some lizards or something. No, man, we watched this guy for a couple hours just blowing and blowing, trying, and wasn't going nowhere. Finally, about dark, he just shut his engine off. Either he ran out of gas, he overheated the motor, or he just decided, you know, I'm going to have to sleep here till the tide comes in. And it went further out and further out. I mean,
it's really low again this morning. It went out quite a bit during the night. But the good thing about it, we're on those good spring flood tides, so we're going to get a lot of water come back in this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's going to come back in. But, man, I mean, I know the guy knows his job and he knows the bays and everything, but people don't realize you're going to give your impeller a workout. And, buddy, I'm telling you, if you come down in this area and you drive any kind of a shallow draft boat, you need to have an impeller at least once a year put in there. I was even told as much mud and sand as I suck up in there, I might even do it every 8 or 10 months, you know, and don't even wait a year. But anyway, folks, what I'm saying is, and with the bays this shallow down in this area, and if you have I have a man that wants me to go on a trip with him and show him around the bays. He's got a tournament coming up with some girls and stuff, and he wants to learn the bay. Well, it's hard to do in one day. Yeah. Then he tells me he's got a V-bottom boat. He's got a long shaft engine on his V-bottom.
That's not tri-bay boat.
That's not a tri-bay. You've got to do your math on that one, buddy. I mean, that just doesn't add up. You know, if you're going to come down here anywhere in this area, please have a short shaft motor and have some kind of a flat bottom or just a shallow draft boat is what I was going to say. But, no, man, these bays are just so shallow. Like I said, Christmas Bay is about the deepest one around. Bastrop, you might get 4.5, 5 foot in it. You know, Christmas Bay's got 5, maybe some 6 foot spots out in the middle of it. But man, when you get over in the Drum Bay and that kind of stuff where it's only 3.5 foot on a normal tide, there's just no water in there. So I don't know what you're trying to do. You can, unless you're in a tournament, you just had to have those fish. But it's not really good for me. I've canceled everything. I just won't do it. I'm not going to put my stuff out in it. And you know, I like to fish as much as the next fella, but I don't want to be tearing my stuff up. I mean, and that's all you're doing. You're coming down here and you're going to run in that shallow bay. You can expect to suck up a lot of sand, and you need to get that engine home and put that flusher on there and get after it, buddy, because there's a lot of cleanup, man. You're going to have mud one inch to the from the front to back on those boats down here.
Oh, yeah.
But look, buddy, I'll try to get you a better fishing report this week and see if I can get out there and get on them. But as it is right now, like I said, the boat ramps are open. The bait camps are holding a little bit of bait. That's if you get down here at a decent time. And, man, all I can say is I hope everybody has a very, very happy Easter to everybody and their families, and you and your family, Captain Mickey. And,
you too,
and I
Glenn.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, and I appreciate everything. Throw your number out. Somebody wants to call you about coming down.
Yes, sir, 713-208-0683, buddy. Y'all have a great day.
All right, Glenn. Happy Easter. See you, buddy.
Thank you,
Take
sir.
Care. All right. There's a hammer weighing in there. So, all right, it's 4:13 here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll return right after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Easter Sunday edition. We're all here. Gang's all here. All right, let's head down south. Let's go down and talk to our good friend, Captain Tony Gonzalez, down in Rockport. Hey, Tony, good morning. Happy Easter, bud.
Happy Easter. Good morning, Kevin.
What's up, man?
A little tired this morning.
Yeah?
4 in a row this week, and that wind the first 2 days, boy.
Hey, and y'all really get some wind down there. We think it's windy up here. Just go down there to Rockport and stay about a week.
Well, coming across Mesquite on, what was that, Thursday? I just don't know how a boat doesn't break in half when it bottoms out, comes out off of you. You know, it was rough on Thursday. And what did we do? We had 6 reds and 1 trout.
Yeah.
And a flounder. And those are some repeat customers that come 4 or 5 times a year. And despite the wind, I told them, I was like, going to pick up later on. That's okay. We can handle it. And, you know, two casts too many, it started roaring. Like, well, it's going to be bumpy. Oh, that's okay. And then Friday, I had 2 people, never turned customers, but they stayed over in Port Aransas and wanted me to meet them over there in Aransas Pass.
Yeah.
And do you know anything over here? Yeah. I mean, that's where I used to fish with the guy that I learned from. And It was super windy. Everything that I liked was blown out. Mud Island,
right.
Allen's Bight. There was a little protected around South Bay and what I call Morris Cummings Cut over there by Fin and Feather. I like that area too. And they were losing interest at the beginning. You know, we had 30, 45 minutes, no bites.
that tends to do it.
And I was seeing slicks pop, you know, and you could see people kind of running over that reef. And like, look, there's some slicks, there's slicks. And let's go take a ride. And I went to crank the engine, and I popped about 10 slicks.
You were sitting in them then.
Yeah, but you could just tell they were just, they wanted to see something else. We'd been there for maybe an hour, 45 minutes. So
right.
We took off, and I tried to get inside Mud Island, and nothing was protected. I mean, it was just,
yeah,
it was bad. And we caught some dink trout over there. And so like, y'all, I think we need to go back to where we were. And so we did, and did a couple of drifts in South Bay before we went back under that bridge. And they started going off. You know, we caught a bunch of dink trout, and I ended up with one keeper that day.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I started dancing and celebrating when that one keeper hit the floor. They're like, that happy over one keeper? Like, yo, I don't want a goose egg. You know, I'm trying my best.
No, nobody wants the skunk, man.
So they were happy, you know. Okay, Tony, it's fishing. And then yesterday we went, I had two people yesterday. And that was a little challenge because right off the bat, they ended up getting into place in Aransas Pass too because everything was booked here. And like, y'all, I had a really bad day there today. I recommend y'all come this way. Plus, we can get away from some of the crowds over here. And okay, but one thing we want to make clear, Tony, is we don't want a stressful situation. I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, we've been with guys before, and they, you know, they're working so hard, and they start yelling at us and stuff, and we don't want that. It's like, okay, I was like, I probably would have gave you that tomorrow because I had such a bad day today. So I'll try to take it easy on you, and we'll just go fishing. And I thought, well, if I'm going to get a goose egg, today's going to be the day. That would have been yesterday. So the wind was real light, and I parked it out on a mid-bay reef out here. They started catching fish. They were there, and I was glad because the gentleman, he was funny. He, you know, she cast out, and she got out there pretty good, and he could barely get out there that far. And I outcast both of them. I was like, here, I'll fish with y'all a little bit, give y'all a little example. And I just kind of pop that cork like this, and she pops it, and he looks at me and tells me, if the fish doesn't want to bite, it doesn't want to bite. I'm not going to pop that cork. I just leave it there, and this is how I do it. But,
okay.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. You got it, buddy.
I was like, well, I can't be a guide with doing that, you know. And so she started catching trout, and I started catching some trout. And then he found a dumb one that bit his line, too. We were picking on him. And then she hooked into like a, I didn't put a tape on it, but I would say it's about 42-inch black drum.
Good and, Lord. That's a big nasty.
And you know, I mentioned your mom to them because you could tell she was the fisherman, you know, the fishing,
right.
The angler. She loves it. I love fishing. And I've always, and he was picking on her. Oh, yeah, Tony, she counts down to 1,003 before she sets that hook. Real technical, you know. That's how you're supposed to do it. That's how I was taught. You know, let that cork go down and tighten that line. So, until I mentioned
keep
your mom.
Keep the slack out. That's the biggest deal when you're popping cork fishing. A lot of people, they have a mile of slack in their line. Of cork will go under. And by the time they reel up the slack, that he's already digested that shrimp. He's swimming off with it.
But she fought that thing for 15, 20 minutes, and I was just, please, you know, don't break off. I really want her to catch it, and we landed it. Got it back in the water, revived it, and swam off real nice, so that turned out nice. They'll be back. So,
yeah, I remember when I was a kid, man, watching my mom fight that big old 75-pound drum, and there at the end with that little old rod and that direct drive reel, she was down on her knees on that pier, and I remember my grandfather reaching down and grabbing that big old drum with his, and he had some claws on him, man, and he grabbed it underneath the gill and slid that thing up on the pier. It was huge, just massive. And it talk just, about rubber lips. They looked like a bicycle inner tube. They were so big, the lips on that drum. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
So she couldn't hold it. You know, I had to hold it for her, and then he was able to grab it, and we let it go. And that's what, like I said, I mentioned your mom. I was like, you know, I always talk about you to my customers on the show. And, like, you know, Captain Mickey, you know, it was his mom. He says it was his mom that really pushed him into fishing a bunch. I always took them and dropped them off and stuff. I was like,
oh,
you
man,
see that a lot.
She did. And, you know, my dad was a good fisherman. He was working too much. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Back then, that was normal in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And she did whatever, you know, my grandmother was the same way. She used to sneak us into Forest Park Cemetery and with cane poles in her old Plymouth, and we'd catch huge bull brim out of those ponds, and that guy, the caretaker, run her off every single time. He'd kick us out. But we have family in the cemetery. He said, that's fine. You can come out here and visit the gravesites, but you can't fish in our ponds.
That sounds like a sweet grandmother.
Yeah, I had a good life growing up. Grew up with a really good family, and they really put the kids before anything else. And I was fortunate to grow up in a family like that. And they really liked the outdoors, you know. Fishing was, you know, that was everybody's passion. Everybody was into it. And it just stuck with me. It wore off of my other siblings. You know, they still like to do it, but it's they weren't as infatuated with it as I was. I'm just a sicko, man.
Yeah, and then my mom, too. My dad wasn't much into it, but my mom was always proud of me for hunting and fishing. And
yeah.
And I think it's a lot of, you know, we used to drive over here from Houston to Corpus. My family's from Corpus, Christie area, Robstown, Driscoll, Alice.
Right.
And we'd always cut through. We'd come down. My dad would always turn on the 774. That way it reaches back to 77 and goes from, like, you know, right here between us and Tivoli to, you know, and that's at O'Connor Ranch, and it always waked me up as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're on the road, and I remember seeing 200 deer or more at every river cross or every creek crossing. You'd see them on the side of the roads. So then I got become an adult and started working. That boss of mine, I ended up leasing his ranch for him here in Refugio, and my mom was so proud of that. You know, you got a ranch in Refugio where we used to drive through all the time? Yeah, I ended up being able to do that, and she was always proud of the outdoors like that.
Oops. Yeah, my mom used to, if my grades were good, got a good crappie run going or a trout run going, she'd let me skip out of school, take her fishing. She couldn't do the boat by herself, so I would back the boat in and drive her around, and we'd go catch them up. Those were the days, man.
And I hope it's not too bumpy today. I have six people today.
Six? Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, it's two couples, and he's like, do you mind if I bring my two little girls? I'm like, no, I mean, they're going to be tight.
Fine. Yeah.
They can sit on the front and stuff, but they're down here working from Kentucky. Mm. So I guess they couldn't go back home for the holidays, so their family came down. And
that's cool.
Like, I'll be glad to get you out. And like, we'll just try to make it interesting and fun for the little girls. You know, if it gets rough, We don't want to ruin it for them. We don't want to break those little teeth. No, that's fine. You know, so. You know, the guys, here's a story for you. You know, the guys, we get one track minded. We forget about the comforts of our wives sometimes and our kids. We just want to go after that fish. And last week when we pulled up, that was Saturday. That wind was ripping, 30 plus miles an hour. And there was a guy there, and he was kind of arguing with someone at the dock. And that guy jumped in his truck and took off, peeled out. And he looked at us and threw his hands up. He's like, I didn't know what to do. What would y'all do? What happened? He's like, that guy showed up with his wife, and she was 9 months pregnant, and there was induced labor last week. And I told him, I'm sorry, bud, I can't take y'all out. And that guy.
Well.
It's not a safe situation, you know. No. I wouldn't have done it either, buddy. Maybe that guy was worried about it. After that baby's born, he might not get to fish for the next 10, 12, 13 years or something. And they all started laughing.
Well, I wish you the best today with six people in the boat. That's that'll be challenging. You can catch more fish,
yes,
though.
Yeah, I'll catch a little more fish. And We'll just see. I mean, yesterday, all them fish, they were tide runners. They were slick, a lot of purples and blues on them. That's what I was just trying to show them when we were cleaning fish. These look all new fish to me. They don't have bellies on them. They're kind of slender like this. And I think that's what we're kind of getting that push right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll, the water was green. It lay down, and hopefully it'll stay that way today.
Well, it was really a beautiful day yesterday. It looks like the same for today. It's going to be, if you like sunny blue skies, we're going to have it.
Yeah, and I got to put on some of that sunscreen. I don't know that I'm sunburnt. I'm more windburnt than anything.
Yeah, the other day when I wade fished Wednesday, there wasn't sun out at all. It was just real thick clouds, and my face was burnt up just from the wind. And blowing like 30, man. But that's what we do. All right, well, Tony, you have a good, successful trip today. And if somebody wants to come down and fish Rockport and Aransas, all that area with you, how do they get a hold of you, man?
You can reach me at 210-846-5083, or you can go to our website, captaintgif.com, abbreviate captain.
All right, my friend. Well, Tony, have a great Sunday and happy Easter. I'll check in with you next week, man. Thank you, bud.
Thanks for the call. Yes,
hey,
sir.
You got it. Later. All right, that's Captain Tony Gonzalez down south. Really nice guy. If you never fished with him, he's a good dude. You can grab a possum by the tail if you're quick, you know, and you go ahead and body slam him before he turns around and bites you.
If you want to hunt fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
So I put a shrimp on and I threw it over towards his boat, and something took the head off of it, and I reeled it back in, and I had a tail left on there, and I said, here, right here, just pitch it, and I threw it about 3 feet by his boat, and it dropped down, and I got the hit.
Caught that red. Well, Blaine was fishing in the area where you were at. I'm not going to say where you caught the fish or anything like that, but he said that guy come out of there and saying, we got him, we got him, we got him. We're going to go to Marburgers or somewhere. And he was close to
that
day. Yeah, and I knew about
it.
I was,
you got you early morning sickos, living an outdoor dream. They hunting and fishing all the time.
It wasn't a secret. I can guarantee you that. I was hooping and hollering.
No, and that's what he said. He said this guy was hooping and hollering and was heading to Marburgers.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:38 in the Bayou City. And we do have some open lines if anybody's up and Adam want to give us a call. We've got some lines available. You can call us at 713-572-4610. All right. Let's go to Ray on 2. Ray, good morning.
Well, good morning there, Captain Mickey. I've got a trifecta working today. This is Easter, and it's also San Jacinto Day. Can you believe that?
Yes, it is. That's right. It is San Jacinto Day.
And for all of us that grew up in the shadow of that monument, it used to be a big deal. These days, it kind of comes and goes. Nobody even notices it.
Well, that's true.
And then the third thing is number 3 grandkid out of our 9. It's his birthday today, so we got a lot going on today.
On this 21st day of April.
I'm telling you, you know, of course, Easter was way late this time because of the way the Romans decided to figure out when Easter was. But we still managed to get a front in spite of it all, right?
Yeah, and that was probably not the last one either.
Well, it may not be. I think they're talking about Wednesday getting another blast.
I think so. We may get another blast.
Yeah. Well, you know, the way they figure Easter, it could have actually even been about, I think, 6 days later than it is this year. So maybe that would have been the last front, but who knows?
I've seen them going into May. I've had, you know, you get into May and you're out of your waders. Everybody's wading wet, and then you get that one cool morning and the water's warm. You jump in and wade, and everything's fine, but you don't want to get out, so you better make sure you're on fish before you jump out of the boat because you don't want to get back in the boat. It's so cool outside.
It's just always, we've always had an Easter front. But, you know, I'm enjoying some of the advantages of being 80 years old. Last night before I went to bed, I hid a dozen Easter eggs. and this morning, hell, I've already found three of them.
Well, at Alzheimer's isn't too bad, is it?
At least you can hide your own Easter eggs. And
I was watching people yesterday. They were mowing their yards. I go, it's Easter. You're not supposed to mow them short. You're supposed to have grass to hide the eggs in for the kids. They're scalping their yards down to nothing. I said, man, you got to have somewhere to hide those eggs for these kids.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess they still do it. I can remember the city of Austin used to hold a Easter egg hunt for any kid that would show up down at City Park on Lake Austin. And that's where I learned the difference between a casual Easter egg hunter and a serious Easter egg hunter. The casual Easter egg hunter, kids would all show up. The little girls have on pink dresses and ruffly socks and a big old chocolate bunny in their basket and everything. And the serious Easter egg hunters would have salt and pepper shakers.
Yeah. They're going to eat what they catch or find.
That's right.
Well, I got a big old chocolate Easter bunny, a dark chocolate one too.
Really?
Sitting on the counter this morning. My wife put it out. I went to bed and she was still watching the Astros get pounded. And I said, man, I'm out of here. So I crashed out and I got up this morning by the coffee maker. There was a beautiful golden wrapped chocolate Easter bunny. Big
you
ears
know
on it. Got to have big ears on them. That's the first thing to go.
You know, you and I hit a home run with Rhonda and Mike Carroll. And
we did, man. We got some good ones.
I guarantee you. I'd already watched Baylor get their socks beat off yesterday. When it started looking like that for the Astros, I went ahead and turned it in.
Yeah, Texas Tech started off on Baylor like the Rangers started off on the Astros. Just man.
Yeah, what was it, 4-0 in the first?
Yeah,
the
Baylor,
first half?
Texas Tech scored 4 in the first, 5 in the second, and Texas pretty much did the same thing to the Astros. They had us 4-0 with no outs and the bases loaded. Crazy.
Yeah, before the first out, it was 4-0.
Yeah.
And could that kid stepped up and hit the grand slam. Anyway, you know, it's all about Baylor in this household, so we watched it to the end of that. And then when the Astros started getting drubbed, I said, you know, I think I'll spend some my time getting some shut-eye here.
Well, that's what I tried to do last night, and get ready for a big day today, family stuff today. So.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking. Of course, Carol is gonna. She'll have to make her appearance at Memorial this morning, and I guess I'll probably. I think that Lake Houston has started running over a little bit because of that rain we had the other day. I might slip up there and see if the white bass turned back on. It's
you might be able to catch a few, man.
Well, I tell you, we've been catching a few, and then, of course, the lake fell down and below the spillway, so it quit running over, and that shuts that off.
Right.
And but if it starts running back over, it'll be back on, and we'll probably have plenty of company up there on Easter morning, I guarantee you that. But it's fun anyway, just to get your string jerked, and I don't eat those things. It's too much trouble to clean them for what you get.
Well, that and they're not the best tasting freshwater fish. You know, they're not they're okay. They're edible. I've eaten white bass before, but they're not my favorite.
Well, you know, of course, the other thing they're one of those fishes that really stinks when you're cleaning them too.
Mm-hmm.
So that
they are a little smelly.
They are really smelly, but you know, to your point, if you fillet the thing and you get that nice little small fillet and you fry it up. It's edible for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not going to go up there and bring 25 of them home. Usually there's somebody around there that's got enough room in their bag to take whatever I can give them, and I just do that and come on back.
The Good Samaritan roll, man. Isn't that
something? Yeah, I never will forget one time we were doing that up on at Riverside, up on that part of the Trinity, and just up there where you troll for them, and I went back to the boat ramp there where Richard does his seining in the mornings, and there was a kid putting in a John boat with his little girlfriend on there, and he yelled over, said, where are they biting? Where are they biting? I said, well, they're biting right up there at the cut and up there by Harmon's and just going up there. You do fine. He said, we got to go up there. We're getting married, and I've got to do a fish fry for our reception. And I said, boy, I'm going to make your day. Hand me your net. And I handed him 25 of those. He thought he had hit a gold mine right there.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
They never even put that boat in the water. They just pulled right on out and went home.
A few weeks ago, I came in from fishing, and I caught and released everything, but I did gut hook two trout. I couldn't save them, so I threw them in a cooler, and I got into Roseland Park there, where I usually put in most of the time, that time of year, and there was two ladies fishing off the bank right there, and I asked them if they wanted those two trout, and you thought I'd given them a new car. They were just so excited.
That's a feel-good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's two nice trout, 3-pounders, and they said, oh, man, we can feed everybody with these two tonight.
You know, when I'm coming back in the bayside of Fort Anahuac, there's always people out there fishing on the point out there, and I'll stop and, you know, throw them a redfish or something over there, and it makes you feel good to see their eyes light up.
Oh, yeah.
Really does.
Because they, you know, they're pinned down, they're fishing one place, and the fish don't show up or they don't bite right there, they don't have anything to take home.
Well, and, you know, you even still see some cane poles in that part of the world when they're out on the end.
Well, that's right.
Out there. So, you know, it's just a
You know, remember when we were kids fishing all the piers there on Trinity Bay? I fished a lot down at Seacrest Park and Umbrella Point. Sure. And we fished with cane poles off the piers to catch those big golden croakers. You know, they'd get around those pier pilings, and we'd, you know, fish with dead shrimp and catch some monster croakers like that. But hey, there was days of trout and reds that come through there in that shallow water along those piers, and we'd just load up on trout and redfish with cane poles.
It's just absolutely amazing the way it was. And you talk about it with Blaine and James, and I guess me and everybody, all the other Baytown people that fished all the time. It's just absolutely amazing the way it was.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you didn't have to have a new TXZ reel
where you
had about 150 yards.
And no.
You just dangle it down right at the end of the pier and catch all the fish that you wanted to.
Exactly. And we always look forward to, you know, right before school was out, that's when the drum run would start on that west side of Trinity Bay off those piers. And we'd get our crabs and crack crab. And we'd fish all night long with lanterns and catch them big old 30, 40, and 50-pound drum all night long and just love it. And then all of a sudden, you know, a school of reds would come through and they'd eat that crab. We'd load the box up with big slot reds, you know. We didn't care. We were fishing. We were doing it right, man.
You know, with the tide out like it was yesterday, I remember how many times that you and I have just jumped off the pier there at Crawley's and walked all the way out there.
Oh, yeah.
And fished off that side. And shoot, these days, if you told somebody that you'd walk all the way from the bank all the way out the end of Fisher's, which is probably a quarter of a mile out there, and never even get above your knees, they'd think you'd lost your mind.
And you used to do it on a high tide when I was a kid. You could walk out that sandbar in front of my house and it'd curl back to the left, and you could walk right onto the tip end of Fisher's Reef. You could wade fish all of that.
You and I and Don Miller, just on a regular tide, nearly drowned his poor. and you and I were fishing out on the end of that thing, and you know we were waist deep in that water, but it was a normal tide that day.
Yeah, you can't even do that now. That's over your head where we were wading.
You know, out there where that marker is.
Yeah.
Pretty close to where we were fishing.
That's where I used to always catch the big ones, just wade as far out as I could towards the marker pole, the old Chris Oak pole, and throw back to the east with the outgoing tide. And, buddy, man, we used to light them up. I mean, catch toads.
Right, of course, that's before GPS and everything. We always lined that water tower up with the boat ramp, and that was right on top of the sweet spot.
Well, you know how I did it? The guy that, old Buster, that used to live next door to me, had a big cottonwood tree in his front yard, and I would line up that cottonwood tree and the water tower. When they would come together, you'd be right on the hump. Exactly. Dead on it, man.
Well, that tree must have been right there by that ramp, because I always used
to. Yeah, there's that old ramp.
Yeah. You know, I heard you mention Philip Grayson yesterday. How's he doing?
He's doing good. Him and June are—they're the best neighbors you could ever have. You know, they live next door to me, and
I know that. I know they moved down that way. Well, yeah. You know, there's something to be said for some of us old guys. I guess he's a year younger than me. That puts him at 78 or 9.
Yep, he's up there, but you wouldn't know it. He stays busy, keeps his yard looking good, and stays active. That's how you do it, man. Don't stop moving.
He's a quality guy. He was a hell of a split end, Robert E. Lee.
Yeah, he was. He's a good guy, man.
He is a good guy.
All right, Ray. Well, I'm going to punch Mr. Plog up. I've got him this morning. I didn't get him yesterday morning. He took off in the dark yesterday. He was.
Hey, James, if you're listening, happy Easter.
He hears you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll get on down the road.
Okay,
here,
Ray. Hey, happy Easter to you and your sweet wife, and y'all have a good time with your family today.
We'll do that. Same to you, brother.
All right, buddy. Take care, man. All right. Race boat Ray. Hey, Plog.
What's up, buddy?
You Peter Cottontail this morning, hopping down that bunny trail?
Man, I ain't hopping too good this morning. I'm fixing to hop, but I ain't hopping too good.
You're dragging a leg?
Nah, I'm semi-hopping on three, man. Hopping on three this morning.
What's going on?
Nothing. It's pretty, man. Just sitting out here drinking some coffee. Just to go to church here just a little bit. I ain't going to do much. Lance over, buddy. I'm supposed to go to eating today. It's game on right now, man.
Where are you going to go have brunch at? You going to Gatto's?
Man, I think we're... Yeah, nah, we're going to go to Moody's.
Moody's?
Yeah, we've been going to Moody's about the last, you know, I started doing this 40 years ago with my grandmother. And, you know, we used to go to San Luis. We used to go to Galvez, actually. And then to San Luis, and then we'd switch. But Moody's, about the last 3 or 4 years, Moody's been the best.
Boy, I miss going to Gatto's. Boy, me and old Big Rat, we had a hot trail from Baytown to Gatto's.
Boy, I know Big Red. He was dialed in with.
He was a Gatto's man. He'd start off. He'd get him a cold Coors Light, and then he'd get him his appetizer. Would be, he called them double D's. It was two big giant mounds of crab meat, lump crab meat.
My grandmother loved that crab.
Oh, he could. Man, that guy could eat. He could. He could put it away.
Did y'all, and y'all probably didn't have, well, y'all didn't have to, but for years and years and years, man, I think it's closed now, but my grandmother was a member of the Pelican Club, which, you know, behind the deal.
Right.
And that was a big deal, but I always hated it, even when I was little. You'd have to wear some kind of little coat, and then,
you had to wear the proper attire to get in the Pelican Club, man.
Yeah, you had to be dialed in. And,
yeah, you didn't come in there with your Birdwell Beach britches on.
That wasn't happening. Hey, Birdwell's back making board shorts again.
Are they? Hey, I used to live in Birdwell's. That's all I wore.
Dude, they got new ones, and I'm gonna look at some because I wear a lot of board shorts in the summer. But yeah, they're making them again.
Yeah, we could. Hey, dude, let me tell you something. Beach britches back then.
Beach britches, yeah, but they had a big. Remember, I know that they had a big sign, and we're going north on 45 right here. And I said, man, check that out. Birdwells are coming back. Hey, but anyway, let me tell you something. So we ended up. Dana said, look, man, you got to go with me. He said, I'll take care of you. We'll split the deal. And I said, man. You know what day it is. Do you understand? Yeah, bud. I said, there ain't no buts. I'm just telling you. So I said, okay, that's fine. But here's what we're going to have to do. So we know the story. We roll. I mean, we rolled at 5. And, hey, nobody got to go Friday. Good Friday, of course. It was blowing 40 miles an hour.
All right.
Let me tell you something, brother.
They come out of the woodwork yesterday.
If it floated... I don't care what it was. If it floated, if it was a styrofoam ice chest, it went out there yesterday.
Wow.
and we ended up smoking them. And if you'd have told me that, I'd have said, you ain't got enough money.
I think everybody caught them yesterday. I mean, Facebook was just lit up all day with dead dock shots and stringers laying boats and just...
Well, Mickey, there was so many people. There was so many people. Somebody had to catch them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were just too many. Hey, and by and large, it was really pretty comical. I mean, of course, I don't get mad about nothing no more anyway. I don't care. But most of the people, because I had some fish that was out on a flat that was kind of out in the bay. And there was some more. We kind of split up, and which was a bad plan. And it's going okay. It's, yeah, everything pretty cool. And then, it, you know, it starts getting daylight. And, man, here they come.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And nobody really, you know, the people that messed everybody up. And I watched this yesterday, and I'm laughing. I was going to tell you about this. Nobody was, only one guy. But the rest of people that chopped you up, drifted by you. I'm talking about people drifting. I could just hand him my lure. I didn't have to cast. And they got their trolling motors and their ninja mask and stuff.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Hey, let me take break right quick. Hold that thought. I want to hear this. I'll be right back to you, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.